In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we learned a great deal about Luther, the 95 Theses, and the Reformation in general. At the heart of the controversies swirling around Luther and the Reformation was how sinful man might be made holy and thus receive eternal life. The Church of Rome in Luther's day asserted that it was by external works that sinners were made holy. The rather elaborate system of penance, which we spoke of earlier, was built around the idea that sinners needed something in order to become holy. And so the Church of Rome taught that some sort of works were needed to satisfy the wrath of God, and that they should follow after confession of sin. These works might include, as we spoke of, the buying of indulgences, pilgrimages to holy sites, and other such things. As Lutherans, we are right to be horrified by these teachings. Indeed, all of the Protestant churches that have come out of the Reformation loudly condemn this teaching. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone, not by any works done by us. In today's gospel text, however, Jesus seems to make mention that it takes an external work to see and enter the kingdom of heaven. Listen again to Christ's words. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Again, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus, the teacher of Israel, asks, "How can these things be? How can it be that something that we do to the outsides of our bodies can bring about salvation?" Even most of our Protestant friends look at us with furrowed brows when we talk about the saving power of holy baptism. For many of them, baptism is simply an outward act to show that Christ has changed the heart from unbelief to faith. Maybe you've heard the popular catchphrase that baptism is an outward sign of an inward reality or change. For others, baptism is a sign of obedience to God. He says to be baptized, and so I should get baptized because he said so. We really ought to admit that baptism, on its face, doesn't appear all that impressive. A pastor stands at the font, holding a hopefully quiet infant, pours some water on the head, and repeats the Trinitarian name of God in accord with what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 28. From an outsider's point of view, it looks as if the pastor is doing all of the work. He's holding the child, he's pouring the water, he's speaking the words. These things are all external. They happen to the outside of the body with such mundane things as water and word. How can water do such great things? Well, Luther answers that very question in the Small Catechism. He says, "Certainly not just water, but the Word of God in and with the water does these things, along with the faith which trusts this Word of God in the water. For without God's Word, the water is plain water and no baptism, but with the Word of God, it is a baptism. That is, a life-giving water, rich in grace and a washing of the new birth in the Holy Spirit." While Luther goes on here to quote St. Paul's letter to Titus as support for his answer, he almost certainly has our gospel reading in mind from today. After all, Jesus says, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." This means that the Holy Spirit blows where he wishes. If Jesus promises to give the Holy Spirit through the waters of holy baptism and the word that's in that water, that he gives the Holy Spirit in the waters and with the word of holy baptism. We can be certain that the Holy Spirit is given in baptism precisely because Jesus promises it. And this, dear Christians, is what sets the external work of baptism apart from the external works commanded by the Pope in Luther's day or any other Bible teacher in our own day. We can take refuge and find comfort in the waters of holy baptism because God makes such great promises regarding baptism. In Romans chapter 6, he teaches us that we who are baptized into Christ are baptized into his death. We, like the thief on the cross, have died with Christ at the font. Since we are thus linked to the death of Jesus, St. Paul goes on to say that we are also linked to the resurrection of Christ. We learn in Galatians 3 that in baptism we put on Christ and receive the Spirit of God as children adopted into his family. We become heirs of the kingdom of God even as we gain as a brother our Lord Jesus Christ. And in the first epistle bearing his name, St. Peter says so boldly, "Baptism now saves you." You see, it is not all external works that are condemned by the scriptures. Instead, Luther and his fellow reformers sought to elevate only those external works commanded by Christ to bring comfort to those who are harassed by sin, death, and the power of the devil. Because of Christ's promises regarding baptism, we can look at this font and we can know for certain that there God has made us partakers of his heavenly kingdom. Every time we witness a baptism, we can see and hear the work of the Holy Spirit bringing another Christian into his kingdom. Because Christ has commanded this work and has given us such great promises through it, we have something physical, solid, and real to remember that when the devil comes accusing us of our sins, that we have died with Christ. In short, as Luther says in his large catechism, what God does and works in us, he intends to work through such external means of grace. Therefore, wherever he speaks, indeed, no matter what direction or by whatever means he speaks, faith must look there. It must hold to that object. Since Christ says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, faith must look there for the working of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, it is in that external work of holy baptism that Christ himself is at work. Yes, the pastor does the pouring and the speaking, but if Christ promises salvation through that work of baptism, we can be assured that it is Christ himself who is doing the real work. For in that water, Christ has joined us to his death, that we who believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. He has commanded it, and he is the one who gives the Spirit through it. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.